Welcome to TGI Patreon Mini for the week of October 4th. I'm your host Ryan Murphy, here to give you a preview of this week's Gamers In content. I want to welcome our newest patron, Ocularis. Thank you so much for becoming a patron of the Gamers In. You're going to get a shout out all month long here on the Mini as well as on the main show. I also want to give a shout out for tweeting a fantastic tweet at the Gamers In account. Really appreciate that. Been seeing a couple of extra tweets these days. And if you want to, you know, share the Gamers In with your many, many followers, you can be sure to tag us at the Gamers In on Twitter. Looking at the Gamers In, speaking of which, what am I playing? Obviously playing more Tales of Arise, which I will talk about in just a little bit in the update corner. But my main focus has been on Life is Strange True Colors. I returned to it because they did release a piece of DLC that was included in the deluxe edition. I got the deluxe edition as part of the review code from Square Enix. So I got a chance to check out and finish Wavelengths, which is the DLC focusing on Steph, a character that is introduced to us in Before the Storm, which is the previous Deck 9 Life is Strange game. And I liked parts of Before the Storm. I think it, once again, our criticisms of Life is Strange stem from the fact that the characters just don't really click with us. Like, they're almost, we sound old whenever we talk about it, but really it is just the teenage angst that is portrayed in the games, the earlier games. And I think True Colors really nailed it, and they opted for more of a young adult, sort of adult, mature character stance. Like, not a lot of young characters, and when they are there, they're really well written and they're not whiny at all, and their emotions are in line with their experiences, as opposed to just always being, I'm a typical teenage dirtbag, blah. So anyways, to get back to the point, played Wavelengths about 3 to 4 hours. DLC that focuses on Steph. It also addresses some of Steph's backstory, which we don't get at all in True Colors. She is, of course, from Arcadia Bay, and at the start of the game, you are given the option, like, hey, what was your choice at the end of Life is Strange 1? And that comes into play. And this sort of serves as like a follow-up sequel to Before the Storm, because it deals with another character from Before the Storm, which is Mikey, one of Steph's best friends, and brings back some of the D&D stuff from both True Colors and Before the Storm, one of my favorite parts in both Before the Storm and True Colors, so it's nice to see that brought back. The scope is much smaller. It's a very smaller scope. You are strictly in the record store. They add one extra room to the record store, which is the back room. But other than that, it's more just like, it's a very focused, here's what Steph's experience was for the year before Alex Chen arrived at Haven Springs. And you are a radio DJ, so there's like, you're spinning records, you're managing the record store, you're taking phone calls. They introduce like a really cool mechanic where when you take phone calls, you're like, you're a psychic. So you roll a d20 to kind of assist you with telling someone's fortune. And that is straight up like scripted, but the choice comes into like, okay, if I roll a 5, how badly do I want to deliver this news? Because you're not actually a fortune teller, you're just making this stuff up. So I had a good time with it. It's short, it's sweet. If you loved True Colors, I think this is a natural, you know, pick this up and play it, because it deals with some of the characters from True Colors, supporting cast, that sort of thing, and fills in some gaps for the character stuff. So I'll be talking about that on the main show. News is pretty light this week. I had nothing to sort of pop up here, but I will say this, our first Extra Life event has been confirmed for Friday, October 15th. Myself, Crofton, Whirlwind, and Travis are going to be playing Marvel Avengers as part of our Dungeons and Diapers podcast community a night. And if you've never listened to Dungeons & Diapers, I'll plug that here. You can go to tgistudios.com/dad, where Croft and I talk about geeky stuff as well as parenting. So it's kind of and usually we mix the two. You know, we'll talk about games we're playing with our kids, movies, that sort of thing. But on the 15th, we're going to play Marvel's Avengers, and you can watch that at tiny.cc/watchavendads. So that's AVN dads. And we're going to try to do a multi-stream, so you can check out multiple viewpoints while we're playing. And we're all doing it in support of Extra Life, so go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021 to donate. Just a quick note, I'm streaming from my PlayStation 5, so there won't be on-screen alerts. If you want to wait until we do an event where that is happening, I by all means understand, but we certainly welcome donations when you're ready. So check that out Friday, October 15th. We'll have a couple more weeks to kind of plug that. All right, let us get into the update corner where we're going to be talking about Tales of Arise. And this will be a smaller update than last week because last week was gargantuan in terms of update. I played a lot, but and I have played quite a bit, but I think I've kind of done less noteworthy stuff, if that makes sense. And as I say that, I've taken down Garibald, the second lord in the game, defeated by an anime punch. So when Law said, hey, I'm going to punch that guy so hard in the face he dies, pretty much what happens in the final cutscene there. So Garibald's down. The sun has returned to Cislodia. So the whole idea of harnessing the sun to collect the light astral energy, because Garibald is no more, there is sun back in this land. And it's kind of crazy to see these characters react to sun and seeing the sun, some of them for the first time, you know? So that was fun. That armor that we run across in Garibald's lair, which was like donned by a hero of Denna in the past, or Dannon in the past. Our main character, Alphen, gets that as a gift. So he's running around in this really cool black armor. And then we're on our... Law joins the team officially. I should mention that. And we're on our way to our next area. We go through some caves. So there's a little bit of spelunking there. And we head over to the Land of Green, which is Elde Menancia. So as you can tell, I've put all the names in the notes. Still doesn't mean I'm going to be able to pronounce them, but it's a step in the right direction. While making my way through the first area in the Land of Green, on our way to the capital, which is Vicent, I unlocked the ranch. I wasn't even going to go into detail on this because it feels like such a small little mode. I don't know if it'll expand from here, but it reminds me a lot of the gardener garden area of Fire Emblem Three Houses. So in a menu, I set up a cow, a rabbit. No, sorry. You can see my confusion here because the pigs have rabbit ears. A pig and chickens in this barn. I'm guessing it's gonna take some real in-game time for it to kind of like progress. But if you go into the barn, you can see that the cow, pig, and chickens are in there. And that was it. It was all through a menu. There is some change visually to the farm. It said you could set up guard dogs and guard cats for like taking care of mice and zoogles. But I think it was done by default. It was already done. So I couldn't really do anything there besides take them off guard duty, which I did not want to do. So I kept going. I literally unlocked it and walked away. So we'll see what kind of progress is made, and I'll check back in on the ranch. You make it into Vicent, and there's some weirdness there as you're going in, because like all the other areas are kind of like, oh no, the Renans, they're really bad. And in this area, it's calm. And I thought at first it was like, okay, this can be explained away as this is like the breadbasket of the Renan Empire, in that all the Danans here, which are still enslaved, are sort of making all the food for everybody. So they kind of, it's more peaceful because they need the farms to be active and working. But that doesn't appear to be the case. You get into Vicent quickly, and you're quickly corrected that in this town, there is sort of this peaceful coexistence. The Danans are still enslaved, but they willingly serve a Renan lord who is Dohalim. I've only heard his name a couple times, so I'll get there. So the Danans serve willingly. They're paid. So they're still technically enslaved, but they are paid for their work. And it seems to be a very peaceful place. Everyone's very happy. Your first quest is just to talk to people to sort of confirm whether this is actually happening, because your entire party is just surprised. Even though the sole Renan in your group is like, what is going on here? This has got to be, there's something nefarious going on here. And everybody sort of confirms it. There's even like a dialogue where like there is a Danon sitting there at a bar with a Renan soldier. And the Danon's like telling the Renan soldier, like, hey, you got to get back out there. You can't be breaking here. Oh, well, it's, and the Renan says, oh, but you know, it's fine. Like, it's peaceful. Nothing ever happens. And the Danon says, no, well, the kids look up to you. You need to get out there and show them, be a good influence. And I'm just like, what? This is complete opposite of everything else we've experienced. So it's, as you can expect, a lot of the characters are flabbergasted by what's going on. But that is going to end our update corner. A small but sweet one. And we'll be back next week with more on Tales of Arise. Looking at Summoner's Call, we were back this week with a new mythic hero, this time returning to the Feywell, so we had another original content hero. Plus, we have the results of our Game Club Special Discussions poll, which was Fire Emblem Warriors. So we're going to be doing monthly discussions roughly around the end of each month on Fire Emblem Warriors. We're going to dive back into the game, play it a little bit, and it's not going to be as, like, week to week, chapter by chapter. We're going to do it in chunks. So we've kind of split the game into three chunks based on the characters that are added to the game, starting with Awakening, then Fates, then Shadow Dragon, with a couple extra bonuses thrown in to kind of cover everything, basically. But it'll be less like pinpoint focused from other game clubs. It'd be more like medium level, if that makes sense. And Extra Life, once again, we'll be deciding what we do for Game Club 2022. Talked about this before, but you can go vote by donating to myself, bit.ly/extralife Ryan. For every $10, you can suggest a game that we play from the Fire Emblem franchise. And if we get to $200 from all of our Summoner's Call listeners, we will be doing a game club of Tokyo Mirage Sessions. There was a discussion on the show as to whether we would do Tokyo Mirage Sessions if we unlocked it first before a game club, as voted on. And honestly, on the show, we don't have a preference. We could totally, if we hit $200, we could totally do Tokyo Mirage Sessions literally right away. So if we hit Summoner's Call, listeners raise $200 total for My Extra Life campaign, we could start playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions next week. But that's another thing we haven't really discussed. So I'll have to let Eddie know. I mean, honestly, it's a slow, like, Extra Life is usually a slow burn. I know a lot of people like want to support us throughout the rest of the year. We totally appreciate that. So there's no rush. Donations are open till December 31st. So, and again, the team link is bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021. So definitely check that out. All right. Looking at releases for October, it's funny. This is kind of a big month. You've got FIFA 22 coming to pretty much everything except for the Switch. That's out now. Phoenix Point just launched on consoles, and that's also on Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass. I plan on checking that one out. I kind of bounced off it hard on PC. It was very unfinished, and I want to check it out on console. Alan Wake Remastered is out tomorrow on the 5th. That's out coming to everything except for the Switch. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is coming to everything, including the Switch, on the 5th. Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania coming to everything on the 5th. Far Cry 6 coming to everything but the Switch on the 7th. Metroid Dread coming on Friday, this October 8th, to the Switch. Tetris Effect also coming on Friday to the Switch. Back 4 Blood coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC on the 12th. Disco Elysium The Final Cut coming to Switch on the 12th. Ori The Collection coming to the Switch on the 12th. Now, I think, is this a bundle of the two Ori games? I'm pretty sure both of them were already out. So this might be like a physical release. Whirlwind would likely know. He'll let me know. The Jackbox Party Pack 8 coming to everything on the 14th. Crisis Remastered Trilogy coming to everything on the 15th. NHL 22 coming to everything but the Switch on the 15th. Townscaper coming to mobile on the 20th. The Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC on the 21st. That one's noteworthy because we're going to be playing through its entirety for Extra Life probably the weekend after it comes out, weekend of the 22nd. Still need to confirm the date, but we'll certainly let you know as soon as we have that in mind. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC on the 26th. NASCAR 21 coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 26th. Age of Empires 4 coming to PC and Xbox Game Pass for PC on the 28th. Fatal Frame, Maiden of the Black Water, coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC on the 28th. That one's unique because it's a, I think it was a Wii U exclusive, so it's being re-released on modern platforms, so definitely check that one out. Riders Republic coming to the PlayStation, Xbox, and PC on the 28th. Voice of Cards, The Isle Dragon Roars, coming to PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on the 28th. I think that was from the TGS, the Tokyo Game Show showcase for Square Enix. It's like kind of like a card-based, I could be wrong, maybe that was in the Nintendo Direct. I think that was in the Nintendo Direct. Anyways, Mario Party Superstars coming to the Switch on October 29th. That's like a bundling of like a bunch of Mario Party minigames. So check that one out. All right, that is going to do it for this mini. Be sure to join in the conversation over on our Discord by going to bit.ly/TGI Discord. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.